Hello again. This is Radio Entrepreneurs. My name is Jeffrey Davis. I am the host, but today not really the host because we're being hosted by the law firm of Tarlow, Breed, Hart, and Rogers. You can see it on our YouTube, and that means my co-host for the day is the one and only Mark Furman.
Jeffrey, it's great to be with you.
Mark, you look exactly the same as you did in 2018.
I'm speechless, but...
you don't age a month.
Yes, but over a period of a couple decades, there is a little change.
I don't notice the difference. Okay. My wife says you're absolutely dashing.
That's right.
But okay. She thinks I'm dashing, so...
Could be time for an eye exam.
Exactly. But. Our next guest is Greg Siskovich. I'm glad about that. Executive Partner and Chief IP Counsel and MPM Capital, correct?
Yes, good morning.
Great. Do you want to tell us about these businesses?
Sure, of course. So the function of an IP counsel is to provide business guidance that has a legal component, specifically around IP, intellectual property, which comprises patents, which get all the glory, trademarks, trade secrets, and then, of course, copyrights, which I assume this will be your copyright.
Right.
And so MPM, as an early stage life science investor, needs to understand what the competitive advantage that can be held by the companies into which it invests. We are also active in the aspect of investing called venture creation, where our executive partners do the innovation internally, build consensus with key opinion leaders in academic centers, and then launch the company at MPM. I do all of the early IP diligence, making sure, because a patent gives you only one thing, the right to exclude others, that we'll be able to get patents and exclude our competition, as well as to make sure that we're free of others' patents, such that we don't go to commercialize and then find that there's a patent owned by a third party that's a barrier to entry in the market.
Now, I'm assuming this is going to be an area, since Mark's a litigator, that he can get into a little bit better than me around the edges. But how did you get into doing all of this stuff?
So after an undergraduate degree at Holy Cross, I got my PhD in cell and molecular biology at Tufts University School of Medicine. I then did my postdoctoral fellowship at the National Cancer Institute in Bethesda. And what I found about academic science is that while I really enjoyed the reading and writing of science, the hands-on lab work is a little bit reductionist. I was named as an inventor on some IP, a patent application that issued as a patent when I was still a graduate student. And then I pursued that as a career after my postdoctoral fellowship. So I went to Suffolk Law at night while working at Mintz Levin during the day as a patent agent.
Interesting. Did you start these businesses?
So MPM has been around since 1997 or so, thereabouts, and I joined them in 2015. My firm, Picket Fence IP, where I'm the sole practitioner, I started, and it was a great opportunity to open my own practice while being affiliated with MPM and doing work with its portfolio companies, as well as other very early startups. Most of my practice is in the field of IP and licensing, and largely it's biotechnology. The reason to start Picket Fence is that, as I'm sure you appreciate, that there's a dichotomy. Even when investors and companies and entrepreneurs are aligned, ultimately the business and legal interests may diverge. So it's important for me to have a practice that's independent from the investor, since I represent the company going forward.
So what are the most common problems, if this is a good question or not, that you have with entrepreneurs and then navigating through, let's say, even with attorneys? Because that's not your background.
So working with entrepreneurs, especially who are very devoted to their science, one of the struggles is they're very busy and they don't really like to talk to lawyers. Definitely they don't like to talk to litigators unless they have to. And when you have to, then that's all they talk about.
Despite our award-winning personalities.
That's right. That must be an interesting award. So entrepreneurs are largely focused on taking the technology forward, and the best entrepreneurs also integrate what the business opportunity of that technology is. Some struggle with that because they're always one of the things that makes an entrepreneur successful is being attracted to the new, the shiny. But with drug development, where in pharma and large biotech, it might take 6 to 10 years, there needs to be an intense, sustained concentration on that clinical development and ultimately commercialization of the product. Entrepreneurs who are good at early stage innovation often struggle with later stage drug development, collaboration with larger companies, and then ultimately the acquisition. I hear a lot of analogies about how it was easier to send their kids off to college than to transact their company.
I'm going to continue to go down this rabbit hole, and it might be the wrong one. So here you have an entrepreneur that has that startup culture. Mm-hmm. You have the entrepreneur who doesn't want to talk to the attorney. And then there's you, who probably feel like you sort of get the complexity of the whole situation and they don't. So how do you sort of work inside that triangle to make it work?
You have to be available to them on their timing, and you also have to understand when they're ready to talk to you, and when, even if you've scheduled 2 hours of your day to understand the new invention that they have, if they're not ready to talk to you because they're distracted and they won't be focused, it's ultimately going to be not a very good meeting, and then I'll produce not a great product. So it's, you really have to be attuned to when is a good time to get people to engage with you functionally. And your analogy of the rabbit hole is a really good one, because there's always another hole. Rabbits don't have just one hole. There's always another hole that you can go into. So if you start to climb down one and it's not successful, back out and find the other rabbit hole and then go into it.
Well, I'm going to continue to climb down the rabbit hole, and it really actually helps to have Mark Furman here. One of the things that I really like about Mark is that he always thinks about another thing that someone else hasn't thought about. But he does it really well, and he does it, that's what he's good at. Do you ever feel that people overthink these things? And sometimes I feel that, you know, attorneys and people like you, they don't think about overthinking, and they're working at that 1% margin that'll never happen.
So, yeah, our job is to overthink for the clients, but then ultimately where I think the distinction between a lawyer who provides legal advice and the lawyer who provides business advice is, you actually have to help the client, the entrepreneur, the board, make the decision. If you just say, here's the risk, here's this risk, and then here's this uncertainty where you can't even measure or quantify the risk, you decide. I think you're providing legal opinion work, which you'll get paid for, but ultimately you're not moving the business forward. I think at the end of the day, or in the middle of the day, you have to take a stand and say, I think that you should do this based on my experience and the law. And here are the risks of doing that. But you also have to, I hate the chess analogy, but you have to look a couple moves forward and say, if we do go down this path, here are some ways that, if it doesn't work out the way we want to, we can back away from it relatively easily.
Yeah, it depends on the situation. Like in the M&A context, you have to prioritize what is worth fighting about, right? And doing an acquisition agreement. And some things are just really important, and other things are, it's improbable it's going to happen. In litigation, I have to obsess over everything, because if I'm representing the plaintiff and it's 50-50, I lose. If I'm representing the defendant and it's 50-50, I win. So I got to get to 50.1 if I have the plaintiff. And I just have to be 50-50 on the defense side. So every little thing in my world gets magnified, because mm-hmm. I'm always trying to just move that needle to where it needs to be.
And in patent litigation, that needle is that dial you have to turn extra hard. And the reason for that is, so patents are protected in the Constitution. While the ability of the federal government to tax was not in the original Constitution, but the original Constitution talked about to promote the progress of science and the useful arts, essentially a monopoly would be given for a limited period of time in exchange for the entrepreneur or innovator disclosing his or her invention. If it's kept secret, the public doesn't benefit from it because they can't then innovate and move it forward. So that limited monopoly, which Thomas Jefferson, while he was an inventor, often spoke about as a public embarrassment of having to give a monopoly to the inventors, that is foundational to our research, both in the high-tech and the biotech system. And Americans love patents. The standard by which you have to show that a patent is invalid is super high. It's clear and convincing evidence, so well more than that 50.1%. Right. That's the highest standard in any civil case. So there's a large framework around protecting innovation and protecting the validity of patents. That being said, as you say, in litigation, there's a lot of resources that go towards either defending or challenging that the validity or the infringement of that patent.
Let me ask you a little bit more about MPM.
Sure.
How many portfolio companies, roughly, is MPM invested in?
So MPM is invested, I would say, probably in about 60 portfolio companies, largely in the therapeutic space. We do some digital health. Our companies, we tend to found or invest in the early stage, either the seed or the A round, and then take them forward and continue to invest. One of our MPM funds that was raised with UBS, the UBS Oncology Impact Fund, invests throughout the life cycle of the company.
Wow. I want to remind everybody, the person you've been listening to, one of my co-hosts, Mark Furman, and our guest, Greg Siskevich. Greg, if somebody wants to find you at either one of these companies, how would they do that?
Well, I'm on the website at MPM Capital, and it's a great website, just like your firm's website is a great website. My website, which is picketfenceip.com, I need to increase the traffic somehow.
Okay.
But maybe you guys can tell me how to do that at some point
in time. I think Mark's is a relatively new website. I've been waiting for a long time for that one. I remind everybody, yes, I am Jeffrey Davis. I'm the host of Radio Entrepreneurs and also the founder and CEO of Mage LLC. We are going to take a break. We'll be right back with more stories after these messages.